All right, well, welcome, everybody. It's good to have you all back again. So we'll get started. We'll get right into it. Most of you were here last week. I'm not going to bother reading this, the disclaimer. We all kind of know what we want out of this, so I'm not going to treat you like children. That's stupid. So let's see. We just want to kind of open it up again with a sort of an icebreaker kickoff. Couple minutes on, you know, what we're thinking of the game so far. And I think Steph came up with this one. If you could change one thing about the game, what would it be? And it can be serious or it can be fun. Just kind of generalize. I would change the pacing, for sure. I find the game a little bit slow. Like, a lot of it slow. It took me like 4 hours to finish it because I was so bored. I kept pausing it. I know, right? I'm like, I don't want to play.
That seems like a really major overhaul.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that feels that way.
Yeah. I'm a little dramatic, obviously, too. But I think it is slow. I mean, I walked around picking up things and handing them to people.
Like a lot, but this episode. It was a lot.
I know. She's like, can you get the eggs and the bacon? So I open the fridge, and the bacon's in the fridge. And I'm like, where the frig are the eggs?
Out on the counter. And the milk's on the table, of course.
No. The eggs were in the bag.
It depends. If you pick
door.
Pancakes, you get something different.
Oh, do you? Okay, so I picked something different. I wonder, like, where do you keep your eggs? Other than the fridge, lady. And I was just getting aggravated.
Yeah, but the pancakes, the eggs were in the bag by the door, and then the milk was on the table in the living room. Or in the kitchen, I mean, or whatever.
Nothing is where it belongs.
You know, I didn't have a problem with the pacing at all. I really didn't. But then I'm the person that I like those point and click games. Like, I like walking around and looking at things. So I'm very explorative when it comes to my video games.
You know, I love point and click games. Always have. I just feel like with the difference, like, and Michelle brought this up in the beginning, like the Walking Dead stuff, the Telltale games. I feel like I'm contributing more to those games than I am to. I just feel like I'm part of the story. In this, I feel like it's very much like, oh, we're in real life, you know? It's just a everyday, you know.
You're gonna brush your teeth, get clothes away.
Yeah, I did. I got dressed and I.
Take a shower.
I tried to walk out. Yeah. I'm like, I don't want to take a shower.
It's like playing The Sims, almost.
Yeah. And then at one point, like, after... Go ahead. I'll shut up. I'm on a tirade.
That's okay. I just don't compare this to The Sims stuff. Don't do that.
Oh, well, come... I play both. I love The Sims.
I know, but this Sims would make this one look dreadfully boring. I mean, you people on fire.
Yeah, that's true.
If it was The Sims, we would have taken the ladder away from the swimming pool, so it would have been bad.
Oh, that's true.
Apparently they just stop swimming when that happens and drown themselves.
Yes. I mean, what else are they going to do?
I know. Climbing out is definitely not an option without a ladder.
Did anybody else get any glitches this episode?
I don't know.
I had one where I was rewinding to pick a different answer, and it got stuck in the rewind, and so I had to sit there through about 5 minutes of extremely slow talking.
Oh. Yeah,
I had, right at the end, when you have to, like, hide his keys, whatever, I rewound twice, because I couldn't find the right place the first two times, or whatever, and then his audio loop was playing on top of the other audio loop. So I had these two audio loops going at the same time, driving me insane. It was so frustrating.
Yeah, I had a glitch around there too. It was different, but I remember there was one time where I had to close out and reopen the game.
Well, you're messing with the space-time continuum.
Yeah.
Well, at first I thought it was intentional, like they were being, space-time continuum, but then I was like, no, this is just a broken game. Like, this is stupid.
There was that part...
Yeah, that's why I brought it up.
Yeah. Well, like, after you eat breakfast, and anybody try to... I totally tried to rewind breakfast and get second, but she brought over a plate of half-eaten bacon.
Did she really?
Yeah, and I was like, are you kidding me, Joyce? And then I had to sit there and, like, after I was done eating, and you can't do anything except sit there and look at the peanut butter.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, this is riveting. And I'm going to just wait till she gets up and, like, brings over the thing, like the picture or whatever. I don't know. Anyways. I should not have answered that question. I should have kept my mouth shut.
I also, okay, I was very frustrated right at the beginning when you're, like, breaking into the principal's office. Like, I blew the door, I got inside, and then I rewound. But then you have to angle just right to open the door. So at first I thought, like, I had done something wrong. I was like, was I not supposed to rewind in here? I mean, I actually went online to look it up, and they're like, no, no, you open the door. And I was like, that's what I thought. I just didn't angle it.
Yeah, that's what happened to me. The game glitched when I blew the door. Too.
Did it really?
Yes.
That's hilarious.
It's so weird. I haven't had any problems the first two episodes, and then this one, it was just, like, screwy all the time.
Yeah, and I had to go back and redo the whole thing all over again, too. It was such a pain.
You had to redo all...
I had to redo, like, gathering all the supplies.
Oh,
and
no!
Yeah.
Like, the worst part of the entire episode.
Yeah, and the worst part, too, was finding the fertilizer.
Oh, yeah.
Are the...
plant fertilizer?
Yeah, the thing above the cabinet.
Planet? Really?
Yeah.
I
actually had a hard time finding the can.
Really?
There were, like, four or five trash cans, and I just didn't find that one. First, I kept walking past
it. It's dark, and you couldn't see anything.
We had to search everywhere for all those bottles.
Oh, yeah. She's just a fetch quest lady. That's all she does. She belongs in a crappy RPG.
We are the ingredients master.
Yeah, ingredients master. Seriously. Unbelievable. Anyways, we should probably move on.
Yes.
Steph, if you have the questions in front of you, you want to kick it off?
Okay, so at the beginning of the chapter, a lot of people seemed like you could kind of see the after effect of Kate's suicide in, I think it was Monzo, right, that could save her?
Yes.
Or the suicide attempt. You could kind of see the after effect in, like, people around the dorms and around campus. Like, they all seemed kind of very, very, of course, like, kind of withdrawn about it and, you know, want to talk about it. Did you find everyone's reaction believable? And then you also noticed that some of the people that were upset about it were the ones that were actually, you know, teasing her to begin with about the whole video thing. So did you find that whole, you know, did you guys experience that as to be a believable reaction to it?
Yeah, because obviously people are going to, you know, something bad happens, so everyone's just going to jump on the bandwagon of feeling sorry for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was a very realistic detail that all of the whiteboards said something about it, because everybody, you know, wanted to feel like they were a part of the solution or whatever.
True. True. Mm.
So what was it, back when the whole, like, Paris attacks happened and everything, someone had posted a video, it was either Reddit or Facebook, and it was of a comedian saying how whenever something bad happens, someone always says, oh, my thoughts and prayers are, you know, go out to whatever. And it's basically, like, it's basically people being like, oh, look at me, I matter too, type of thing. So it's you know, definitely that, you know, something traumatic happens, so, you know, give all your attention to me type of thing. Mm-hmm. So.
That's true.
Yeah.
Good point.
Which I think, considering that all the characters are teenagers, is very appropriate.
Yes.
Because teenagers are so self-focused.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is the first thing they would do.
Yeah.
Turn the attention from what's going on with dad and how they feel and what they think about it, and want other people to talk to them about it too. Whether it's a good way of dealing with those kind of situations or not.
Is someone okay?
Rewind.
Everyone's okay.
Well, so you guys have been seeing the creepy text messages, not from Warren. I'm not talking about the Warren one. No, I'm talking about the unknown caller.
Oh, the anonymous?
The threatening one?
Yeah, the threatening one. Any ideas?
I want to say maybe Nathan's father?
Yeah. I'm not nearly as intimidated by them, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, whatever, dude. What are you going to do? I can rewind time.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like a all bark, no bite
situation. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, I have money, but, so, you know, stay out of it and leave my family alone. Otherwise, there'll be hell to pay.
Yeah, I haven't quite figured out, like, why someone will be threatening me yet. Like, I haven't done anything.
In the first episode, did you tell on Nathan?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
That's why. There you go. Yeah.
We did not tell on him.
So are you getting text messages, though?
Yeah, we still do.
Oh, weird. Okay.
Then I don't know why, because that's...
because you're alive. Because you're a woman. It's all because
someone's
you're a woman.
Someone's
watching. What does the text message just say if you didn't tell on Nathan?
Someone's watching from security videos.
Yeah, do they change depending on whether or not you ratted them out?
What did your text messages say?
Do you remember?
Well, a lot of them in this chapter were pretty, like, sexually explicit, I guess.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't get one of those.
Yeah. All the names you called it. Not very nice.
I feel like we're like in Poltergeist or something. Yeah. The echo. That's great.
Michelle is weak. There's so many voices.
Michelle and I, we're on separate microphones, so you're probably getting us both.
Yeah, it's just sounding really weird on our end.
We can roll with it.
No more demon voice.
Yeah, no more demon voice.
It's 10 times better than demon voice.
That was pretty funny. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see what happens with that. I'm hoping it's not one of these stories that doesn't explain things at the end, like a, you know, kind of like Lost, where you just have all these compelling storylines and cliffhangers, and then there's just nothing.
No, that would really upset me.
I like it and I don't like it. I don't mind Lost. It didn't bother me so much, but I feel like with a video game, I've invested like hours of trying to, like, you know, I don't know. Anyways,
I need resolution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To some extent, you don't have to explain everything. But going back to the office scene where you blow open the door, did you guys take the money?
No.
No.
I didn't.
I did not either.
Did anyone?
No.
We're all good people.
Let's forget Stapleton. No. That would have been terrible.
To be honest, I did take it and then rewound. I did take it at first. And then when she explained that this was money for a charity, I thought it was just random money sitting in there because I wasn't paying attention.
She said it was for, like, it was like marked handicapped.
Yeah, after you take it, she's like, oh, I feel guilty, I took handicap money. And then I was like, oh, crap,
oh,
this.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, nope, undo.
Yeah. Let's see here. Going on to the next question. Okay, so in this chapter, it seemed to me that you could really tell, at least with the things that were happening, like, you know, they broke into the principal's office, her and Max and Chloe did, and it fails me right now, but there were a couple other things that really brought out to me that it seems like that, you know, of course, Chloe is changing, you know, as a person, and Chloe even points that out to her. She was like, I can see a change in you. Do you think it's because of Chloe's influence, or do you think it's because of her powers, or do you think it's a little bit of both?
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, she's reunited with her friend and, you know, somewhat of a bad influence to begin with, but, you know, also she's, I don't want to say maturing into her power, but realizing that, you know, there are potential consequences to what she's doing, and, you know, kind of coming to that realization.
And then she's also taking a lot more risks, too.
Yes.
So I think it's much more just her powers than it's about Chloe.
Yeah.
You know, she started being interested in Amber's disappearance before Chloe showed up.
That's
true. Chloe shows up to make, you know, everything more interesting because of their relationship and all of the information that she has about her, and that there's this connection, it becomes the intrigue. But Chloe's just kind of a vehicle for some of these other things to happen. But really, I see the change being mostly that Max is making these decisions, seeing that she has a more responsibility to make things better. You know, that she can have more control and more power over powerless situations.
Interesting. I actually think it's Chloe, to be honest with you. If I have to side with one way, I feel like Chloe, and I felt like this before, I feel like she's a severely bad influence on Max. And even at one point, she says that kind of in jest. But I think it's funny because Chloe reminds me of a friend that I had who was a really bad influence on me. And people were like, parents were trying to tell me that, and I didn't listen to them. And now that I'm older, I can look back and I'm like, yes, he was. So I see that in this same chemistry they've got. They care about each other, obviously. It's interesting how it's so similar, actually. I don't know if anybody else has had a friend like that, but
I think
their dynamic is very believable. You know?
And it's funny too, because it's almost like Chloe realizes that she's a bad influence, yet doesn't want to let her go. Like, right. If she had the choice, she probably would just, like, let Max go, because she is that much of a bad influence, but...
You think so?
I almost have a feeling that she probably would, because I have a feeling that Chloe wouldn't really, like, truly deep down, doesn't really want Max to be involved with the stuff that she's involved with, like, in the people that she knows and everything.
But I wonder if it's because she's trying to protect her. You know, like with the whole Frank thing.
Yeah, in a way, and then it almost feels like, too, like at this point, she's like almost too deep into it. That, like, she's kind of there now to protect her, in a way.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's a big show, you know?
Yeah.
Personally, but...
Well, I think the game does a very good job of... Or maybe it's just me as a person, that you can kind of see a reasoning behind Chloe's behavior. Like, you know, I mean, because she has went through, you know, with her father's death. And I think her father's death was very detrimental to her, of course, as it would be. But, you know, and I think it kind of started her down that road of just making bad decisions. And, you know, as Chris mentioned, you know, I think it just kind of snowballs to where she's just in so deep now into everything. But I think you can see a little bit of, you know, I mean, a little bit of kind of the girl that you kind of saw back in the, you know, when Max went back into the picture, you know, you kind of see a little bit of that girl still in her, of course, you know. And I think I desperately want Max to kind of bring that out in her, but it hasn't been working yet, I don't think.
We can expand a little bit. I actually wanted to propose a question about Chloe and Max's relationship, because there's a part where she tells you to kiss her, first of all. So who kissed her and who did not kiss her? Or did you rewind and change your mind?
I didn't kiss her.
You see my results in the chat.
Yeah, I put mine in the chat. I did kiss her, yes.
I absolutely kissed her. I smacked her. Hey, man, you want to give me a chance again? Totally. You only live once. Of course, if you're Max, you can rewind and try again, I guess. Yeah. So.
Did anybody kiss her more than once, I guess?
Good question. I didn't.
I mean, I
rewind
not typically for that reason. I kissed her impulsively, and then I was like, oh, what's going to happen if I don't kiss her? So I tried it that way, and I was like, no, I like kissing her better, and then I did that.
Yeah. I kissed her just because she was saying you won't do it. I was like, screw you, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, that was basically the same thing for me, too.
Tell me what I'm not going
to
do.
Yeah, it's like, don't tell me what not to do.
Exactly. I'll kiss you all
Max
day long.
That's the loose cannon.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's hilarious. So that's an interesting, we got a mixed bag. Well, my question mainly was, and this, I don't want to spend too much time on this, I really just want to kind of, like, throw it out there as a thought. Do you think that the developers of the game, the writers, are trying to push this sort of sexual in between matches. I know we've heard in passing that they may have had some kind of physical relationship purpose.
I almost feel like in the past, it never got to that level between Max and Chloe, because Chloe had this that Max is now kind of sort of jealous because Chloe had Amber, and that Max is kind of jealous that maybe things might have gotten a little further, and that Max is kind of jealous that maybe things might have gotten a little further with Rachel than it ever did, like, you know, not in like the sexual aspect of it, but more of like they might have had a bigger connection than between Max and Chloe, and Max was kind of jealous because of that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and she kind of brought that up in the last episode too, when they were at the train at the junkyard, and she found their little hideout thing.
Yep.
You know, she was like, everything that she looked at pretty much in that little hideout, she was like, well, what about me? You know?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, she had her. Well, you know, what about me? You know? So.
Did you write your name on the wall?
I didn't. No, I completely missed it.
Oh, okay.
I missed it.
The only reason I brought it up was because I'm feeling like, I didn't mean to cut anybody off, but I'm just thinking that before the game came out, I remember that some of the reviews talking about this sort of platonic relationship that they had and how they appreciated that. And I tend to agree just simply because they're more believable, and I like the idea of just being, they're just friends. Like they yep. love each other as friends. They're close. Mm-hmm. And they support each other. Like, why bring physical into it if it's not necessary? You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because
it changes the relationship. It changes the dynamic of their relationship in the game. And so I wonder how that's really relevant. That's all.
Well, I was wondering, because, yeah, I was also like, how, I don't, because it seemed, after two whole episodes, to kind of throw this in, felt a little bit strange, but unless they're setting something up for the next two episodes,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that it necessarily was anything other than just like, haha, quirky moment.
Yeah, really. I think you're probably right. I don't
yeah,
think
I mean,
wrong.
For all I know, it could the next episode could be like a whole big relationship tension sexual thing, and I'm completely wrong, but I don't think that that's what they're going for.
We're all
going
to come back next week shaking our heads virtually.
Yeah.
What did we just watch?
Let me come in from an opposite viewpoint. I really appreciate it when games give you that option, whether you use it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I notice pointedly when a game series takes that option away because they're afraid to offend people, whether you feel it's a forced option or not. So, you know, I know in my playthrough I kind of have an idea of where I want Max and Chloe to go to. Just a second.
What's that? Yeah, it's so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry, I'm trying to cut out some of the echo here.
Well, that makes sense.
But yeah, I can understand that you feel like you don't have much of a choice because, you know, Chloe kind of throws it out there a couple different times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it happened just once, I think it would be easy to dismiss. But mm-hmm. because it, I mean, and she really does, you know, in this chapter, she asks you to kiss her, and that's a pretty direct approach, obviously. I appreciate it, I guess, from a story standpoint. Whether or not you act upon it, I think, is your choice, but I really like that they have it in that. Does it contribute to the story directly? No, but it contributes to my personal experience with the game.
That's true.
I just, you know, whether you agree with it or not, I guess, I just think it kind of deepens the story just that much more. So I'm glad it's there.
And that's what it's about. I mean, it's about you experiencing the game and mm-hmm. what it's bringing out visceral, you know, feelings in you as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're all going to anticipate it differently. I don't want to sound like I'm offended or anything, because I don't care. I just think I'm always challenging myself to, like, just look at character development, story, see, and kind of trim the fat and figure out, like, what I don't need here, what is just here mm-hmm. because I feel like I, you know, have to put it in or whatever. But no, I definitely can. I can see it that way, and I'm glad you offered that perspective.
I want to say something about that too. When Michelle is talking about how that there's at least the option of this potential blurred line of this intimate friendship, I kind of thought that it was. Well, I mean, we can always know that women are capable of having intimate friendships that aren't sexual, but they are definitely closer than men will ever get. So in some ways, it almost looks like they're showing that they can be extremely close and that they're growing together, being more comfortable with each other, and really just dropping their boundaries. Mm-hmm. You know, because even when you do kiss her and you see Chloe even kind of puts her hand over it like it's, you know, she really can't believe Max just did that. and she teases her about Warren, and then Max just mm-hmm. says, ah, you're dork. You know, they're completely relaxed. You know, mm-hmm. they realize that they're not actually activating something that's uncomfortable to each other.
True.
They're trying to really just connect. And in that respect, I really liked it. I didn't think it went too far in an uncomfortable or inappropriate kind of...
No, not at all.
Let's break the story mode. I thought that it really just showed them trying to really reconnect, and for Max trying to kind of overcome that connection that Chloe had with Amber.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Anybody else? All right. I'm going to pass the ball to Steph.
Yes, so...
The rest of the conversation.
So, when you broke into the principal's office, and you looked on the computer, like, Chloe was looking on the computer and showed Max Nathan Prescott's weird, kind of strange drawing that they had on the principal's computer, that it was, yeah. like, kind of shadowy, and it said Rachel in the dark room scribbled all over it. Did anyone have any opinions about that, or what that could mean? Like, do you think that Nathan
Psycho.
Is...
It reminded me, like, visually of, like, the Slender Man YouTube series and stuff. Are you familiar with those?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, there's definitely something going on with Nathan. You know, after seeing that, picture on the computer, so it doesn't help Nathan's case on thinking he's guilty or thinking that he's innocent in any way in this. So
yeah, seriously, yeah. And obviously, you know, the principal knows about it, but they can't do anything because his freaking family owns the school.
Yeah,
right.
What I see is how dark a secret. And how big a conspiracy this is that a family can, you know, change this much in a town. You know, there's the cop who says, yeah, they pay me to kind of keep an eye on them. And, you know, this whole idea that they don't keep reports. And
yeah.
yet you see that Nathan can almost get away with, you know, anything that's not too, you know, significant. You know, whatever yeah. they can sweep under the rug, they just kind of, ah, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, and as that dark kind of drawing is, you know, it's more than just him being this, you know, young man who thinks he can get away with anything, and he wants what he wants, and he gets what he gets, but you see that, you know, there is something else going on in his head. There is something, you know, a little darker. You know, he does have, you know, some thoughts that maybe do show that there's, you know, something a little bit unstable than just him being a whiny brat.
Yeah, he's obviously disturbed with something.
Yeah.
Did anyone just talk to the homeless lady over by the diner?
I did. Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it was, you know, interesting to give, like, more insight into the Prescott
uh-huh.
family and everything, so.
She the one that got splashed by the car?
No.
No, that was
the other girl, right?
She's
that's
behind
Alyssa.
The diner.
That was Alyssa.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't go behind the diner, no. I talked to the fish guy who seems to have no information that I care about.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Oh, the fish are dead, okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Did you warn the homeless lady about the coming
yeah.
thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, same here.
Man, sucks to be in my game for her.
Yeah, no, she's just gonna die thanks to you.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm so proud that I saved Kate. I wish Monza was here. I wish Monza was here to tell us about how, because they do mention Kate surviving.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she texts you at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Curious to you if Monza got a text from
the grave. Well, I guess Monza didn't get that text.
Yeah, I guess that's pretty funny. All right.
Unless you get haunted by her if you fail. that's what he's getting, his ghost. That's
oh, no.
She's your spirit animal now.
Like this.
All right. So we wanted to talk about the big explosive argument in the kitchen with David and Chloe and the whole shebang. So who'd you guys side with?
Obviously Chloe.
Yeah.
I sided with David.
Did you really?
Well, wow. Here's the thing. I sided with Chloe at first. And that's one of the few times that I rewound it, you know, to see another option. I sided with Chloe to begin with. Because I was like, okay, well, this guy, because he came in there with a horrible attitude, David did. He was like being mean to Chloe and Max. And I was like, okay, this guy's gone too far. So of course I side with Chloe. But then I felt really bad because, like, he basically got kicked out of the house. And
deservedly.
But, I mean, I don't know.
He's just a video game.
I don't know. Because
he's not a real guy. He'll be all right.
I don't know. And so, like, he was, you know, he seemed, like, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I don't want to get him, like, completely ousted from this family. Because, like, I don't know, because, like, if you go to, like, if you, like, when you were looking through his computer, if you looked in one of the drawers, there was a birthday card in there to Chloe on her 18th birthday that was, like, really sweet. He was like, thank you for welcoming me into the family. I love you. Like, he pretty much said that he loves her in the card. So I was like, this guy obviously has communication issues, but he does care for Chloe, and he definitely cares for her mother. But even though he has a horrible attitude about it, and, you know, I don't know. I just, you know, and then there was that moment in the last episode where he was kind of like, he was talking with Max and was kind of like, he apologized, you know, just said, you know, I just want the best for her, you know. And Chloe is very, you know, she's very abrasive. She doesn't obey any, like, you know, rules that he sets down, even though he is the stepfather. And so I was like, no, I want to go back and side with David. And I was glad I did. Chloe was a little pissed with me, but she'll get over it.
I know, that's the thing I hate about this game is, like, one decision, there's, like, you're never going to please anyone in this game. There's always going to be someone that's mad at you.
Yeah, every time.
Right.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter. It's like, there's going to be, like, one person that's mad, no matter what.
It's life.
And even after siding with David, I talked to him again right afterwards, and he was like, thank you for putting up with me. He was like, but this is my family, and I'm going to handle it the way I want to. And I was like, well, thanks, David.
What was that?
Even after you help him, he's still a jerk to you, because I rewound to see both options, because I was so surprised that they even gave me an option. Because, like, why would I side with David? So I did that option just to even see what I would say. And I was like, no, this is stupid. And I went back. But, like, if you side with him, he's like, thanks for sticking up with me, but get the hell out of my house.
Basically. Pretty much. But he has a major communication problem. So, anyways, I stuck with it.
He sure does. So,
typical male then.
Yes. I will admit that is very true.
Oh my gosh.
I do tend to agree with you a little bit though, Steph, because I did for a fraction of a second consider siding with David because I did feel for him at that moment. He was definitely getting ganged up on. Chloe's way out of line half the time. And, you know, you can clearly see that he's a little hot headed, but I think he does want to do what's right in some twisted way, even if it means kind of hurting a few people along the way.
He just doesn't understand how to, or something. Yeah. I don't know.
But like
he didn't
get
love as a kid.
He's kind of being set up to fail because of Chloe's attitude. Like, he can't work with someone like that, you know?
No, you can't.
So it does. It definitely does make you think about, you know, man, I kind of feel bad for actually telling that guy off. But I totally did. I told him right off. Anyways, why don't you talk about the animal stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so did anyone else, or the animals, you mean number six?
No.
I was really, like, does anyone have any, like, thoughts on, like, why that is? Do you think it has to do with, like, Max's powers?
It's got to, or something to do with that.
You know, I didn't think that much of it until there were dead whales at the end. That's when I was like, holy crap, what's happening?
Exactly.
That's where two whales came from, guys.
Whales, Max. Good job.
Wasn't that the site of the diner, though?
No, it was the beach across from the diner.
Right. Yeah. I just thought that was kind of... it's named after two whales.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Haha. Didn't catch that.
Yeah. Kind of interesting. I mean, we've heard in real life of, like, random, like, bird deaths and whale deaths. Usually has to do with change in tide, right? Isn't it like a tide and tide thing? Or, like, even like a weather thing?
I know the fish falling from the sky is a weather thing.
Yeah, I'm not a meteorologist, so I don't know.
Massive bird deaths, I think they've semi-proven it was due to fireworks.
Fireworks?
Yeah.
That's random.
What?
Well, so all right.
That's so random.
So, you know, birds don't have very good eyesight at night.
Right.
So, you know, fireworks start. Fireworks start, so they hear the explosions and they freak out, so they just take off, not being able to see where they're going, so they collide with each other, with buildings, with wires.
Oh my god!
And, you know,
I hate fireworks now!
So,
yeah, that's only once a year, I mean, really, unless you live where I used to live in Seabrook, New Hampshire, where they shoot it up all year round.
Yeah. Well, I think, like they've, with the cases of, like, the mass bird deaths, they've done research and found, like, the night before there were, like, fireworks during, like, a big migration time for the birds, so...
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah.
See, that's why at first I wasn't that, like, freaked out by all the dead birds, because it was right near Frank's, like, creepy little RV thing. So I was like, oh, Frank's out here shooting birds or something.
Oh, Frank.
You know? I'm willing to blame everything on him.
Yeah, but
the whales. I mean, I don't know how he killed those whales.
When you, when you go outside of Chloe's house in the backyard, there's, like, dead birds everywhere.
Yeah.
So, wait, you can go outside of Chloe's house in the backyard?
Yep.
Yeah. When I was looking for the eggs, I looked out there. I'm not joking. I was like, maybe they have, I was like, do they have chicken?
Easter egg hunt?
I'm not kidding. I didn't know the flipping
egg. That's great.
Even those dead birds had them.
Oh, man.
I'm not kidding.
I'm not gonna need those anymore.
I wish I was joking.
Oh, that's great.
Did anybody kill or hurt the dog? Throw the bone into the road?
No,
I'm not a bad person.
That's the worst idea ever.
I didn't do it. I saw that coming a mile away. I was like, nah, I'm gonna kill the dog. If it was like if Frank was gonna chase the bone, I'd throw her into the road.
Yeah, this is some rescue dog. No, it's a fine dog.
Yeah. Well, hey, with the remaining time we have, let's talk about the big crescendo finale here, which was this totally out of, like, the blue new power, maybe, that she seems to have, maybe by holding the picture, right? And then changing this significant thing in her past. Now, at first I was thinking, is this a dream? Like, is this some kind of, like, alternate reality that maybe she's not fully in, maybe that doesn't actually, maybe it didn't actually happen, you know? Maybe she's just in some comatose state or something. But, it certainly leads us to believe that now this is what the rest of the game will be like.
Yeah, have any of you guys seen The Butterfly Effect?
The movie?
Yeah, the movie.
Yes.
Yeah, because he travels back in time by reading journal entries and is able to change past that way. So it's basically the same thing, and so that's what I thought of right away.
Yeah, I tried to forget that movie.
Did you really?
I heard it was not very good, but...
It was interestingly mediocre.
What's the name of this episode?
Chaos Theory.
Yeah.
Which is the butterfly effect.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's hinted at from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing, too, is this whole game started with a butterfly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's true.
Like, it all started with the picture of the butterfly in the girls' room.
Yeah. So,
which is leading me to start to think now that we're going to get to the end of episode 5, and she's going to find out the only way to save the town is to go back in time and have Chloe get shot by Nathan in the bathroom.
Ooh.
That's going to be the only way to do it.
Oh, no.
That
like,
could be.
That's the butterfly effect, is that, like, you can't actually change anything, right. No matter how, whatever. So, is that what's going to happen here?
Right.
Oh. So I'm wondering if yeah, something must have happened to Chloe because her dad, I don't know. It's very strange to me. I'm not really sure where they're going with it. But now I'm wondering, like, sorry, I lost my train of thought, but what I'm trying to say is, the question I wanted to sort of propose is, if you were in this position, would you continue now to try to fix everything and get it back to a point where it was, I guess, satisfactory to you? Or would you be like, whoa, that was not good, I am not messing with this anymore, I'm just going to ride it out as is from here on out?
So,
I mean,
for me, yes, I would try and go back and fix stuff. After playing more, my answer might change, but I'm not going to say anything other than that.
I wouldn't change anything. I'd be too freaked out.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you.
See, I wouldn't change anything because it seems like she has her memories from the old timeline, not the new timeline. Because she doesn't remember hanging out with the Vortex Club or hearing about her friend Chloe being paralyzed or whatever. So she's totally out of touch with this new timeline. And that's going to happen every time she changes something, which is terrifying.
Yeah, and see that's like the worst situation for, I think, a person with, like, I don't know, with, like, some kind of anxiety. Because, like, I know me, like, I would probably, like, get back there and, like, change something in time. And I'd probably, like, go back and try to fix it, and then try, and then, like, get so freaked out, I would try and fix everything else to try and fix it, and it would never work out. It would never work out. I would only screw myself over. And, yeah, that would be a horrible situation for me to be in, because I would just try my hardest, my darndest, to get it all fixed, and it would not work. So, be digging myself a grave.
Well, if you remember from our very first meeting, we talked about, like, would this rewinding of time become an idol or, like, some kind of anxiety, you know, trigger? And I think it would for most of us. Because, I mean, I can say for sure for me, I mean, I tend to lean towards what Mason's saying about, like, I would be so freaked out I'd leave it alone because, like, look what happened. I mean, if Chloe's in a wheelchair now and you continue to mess with things,
oh my gosh,
it could get worse. It could get far worse.
She's at least alive, and she's still your friend.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, that was pretty heart-wrenching when she rolled out like that.
Yeah.
I kind of had a funny feeling. I was like, before I saw her, I was like, she's going to be in a wheelchair. I don't know where that came from.
Well, it was because there was a ramp at the front of the house. Oh, so I was like, holy crap, she's about to be in a wheelchair. Oh, how did that happen?
Good catch.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just like this minor detail. It's not just stairs. There's a ramp. And I was like, is the dad alive but in a wheelchair? Like, and
that's what my initial thought was, too.
Yeah,
and then he shows up at the door, and I'm like, okay, what's going on now? But I do have to say, you all are spoiled with this game right now, because you have people to talk about it after playing the game, after playing the episode, and you only have to wait a couple days to play the next one.
True.
I played it. I had no one to talk to. And I had to wait, like, 2 months for the next episode. It was killing me the whole time. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah,
I
wouldn't want to play a game like this, like, over chunks of time. I feel like that would take away from the whole experience.
It was so painful.
Yeah.
To be like, you can't leave it there. Like, I need more. This isn't a good stopping point.
remember when you came.
Cruel.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when you came to me one day, and I think you were like, "Have you been playing Life is Strange?"
I was so mad at you.
He's like in
shock. No, I was so mad at you because here you are talking about this game, and then I was like, "All right, I'll give it a chance." And then I start playing it, and you still hadn't even finished episode one, and I'm like, "What are you doing?"
Console session, guys.
Chris and I have a lot of history. we have beef to go way back.
Yeah.
If we keep this up, this is going to be some kind of video game story support group.
Yeah.
Basically, I need it.
I can't do this game. I can't talk to someone about it.
Oh.
Yeah. Chris, how are we doing on time? Just curious.
We're almost to 50.
Alright. Well, I mean, when we just kind of, before we wrap up, Steph, is there anything you'd want to add? Or maybe I was just going to open the floor to kind of be like, what do you guys think is coming down the road in this game? Because, I thought I kind of knew where things were headed.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, well, might as well scrap those notes away because I have no idea what's happening.
So what do you think, what do you guys think about, I write this down wrong in the notes, but Max being in the Vortex Club in her new reality. Did that surprise anyone?
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, though.
Yeah, I thought, I don't know, I don't really understand how, it's kind of strange to think how that one thing, how Chloe's dad not dying, somehow that she somehow ends up, like, did she not move to Seattle then? I guess we will find out more, but... Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, did Chloe's father not dying completely change Max's personality? Because she does not have a Vortex Club personality.
No.
So
she doesn't.
I'm just very confused.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's the one thing I like about this game, too, where you think you might have it sort of figured out. It's the game's just like, nope, you are so completely wrong and so completely not where you think you're going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Even if it does take a while to get there.
Yeah, yes.
Even if you have to get a lot of ingredients in order to get there.
If I have to grab one more thing in this next chapter, I'm probably...
have any of you ever played a game called Heavy Rain?
Yeah, yes. I love Heavy Rain.
I haven't played it.
But see, that's a great game.
Yes. Michelle got frustrated with it.
I can tell.
I got really frustrated.
Yeah.
Why?
Michelle?
Unique kind of, well, it's a very unique kind of torture.
Yes.
Because it, you know, press X to open the door. Press
right.
X to sit down. Press X to fumble in your pockets to find the keys. Press X to drop them on the floor.
I do that every day.
Right? Without pressing X.
X.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not something that would really fit well for something like this because it's far too long. But if you need any painful recommendations, that's a good one.
Well,
I think that you're definitely right. I think that I actually though would prefer to be interacting the whole time rather than sitting there watching it unfold within the context of a game. And I go back and forth with that though because I appreciate. I'm a gamer my whole life, so I appreciate the art form and the storytelling. Wow. So I'm like arguing with myself, like, no, it's cool, like, embrace it. It is what it is. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm sitting here for 90 minutes and I've done nothing, you know?
Yeah, and it's just
gathers supplies.
You know, yeah. I understand that too, and it's, you know, at times it's like, all right, let's just kind of speed it along here because I want the story to progress, but in the other aspect of it, it's you're experiencing Max's life, mm-hmm. and you're experiencing the struggles she's having, and the inner conflict that she has, and I think the game does a good job of representing that, even if it is a little long to get to the point, but it's still nice to be able to kind of absorb it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So,
Anybody else have any final thoughts? Go ahead, Cheezer.
Yeah, I was just thinking a little bit about what he said. It seems more like this is a very deep movie that we get to step into. You know, a little, we get to make some decisions. We get to follow around and kind of see and feel what Max is going through in this time of her life and this weird event that's coming. But it just seems like, you know, I kind of like that we're able to go along for the ride, but still, you know, be able to just be a part of it. So,
yeah
it's not as active, which, I think it would be nicer if there were more action-y things besides, you know.
Guns, bombs.
Yeah, you know, knocking a box off of a shelf. But, you know.
I think that's a good way of putting it. I think we're much more along for the ride than we are actively changing the storyline.
Yeah.
You know? Which I think you. Yeah, yeah.
We tried by changing the music that played while we played. If you take out the really somber, depressing music that the game has and replace it with like Red Hot Chili Peppers, it works out really well.
Wait, what do you mean?
We changed it amazingly.
Yeah. We're playing it on the one, so I just snapped Pandora to the side and played it over top.
Oh, that's really brilliant, actually.
Just turn down the music and just turn on something else.
Because I hate the music in the game.
Yeah.
And every episode ends like a episode of Sons of Anarchy with this like montage of like drama, you know, people like driving and people crying, and someone's in jail, you know. Anyways, all right. Well, good discussion. I think that was a good one. That was a good episode, as far as just having a lot to kind of talk about. So I think we're kind of going to be at the tipping point next week and see what happens. How's everybody doing? I just want to check in real quick with, like, just keeping up with these meetings and stuff. I mean, you guys sort of enjoying it and kind of feeling like you would keep coming back?
Yeah, so far so good, definitely.
Yeah.
So you're
like, I like it very much.
Cool.
I do have to say one thing for episode 4.
There we go. Buckle up.
Before you start...
Oh, no.
Just take a moment.
Oh, no.
Take a deep breath.
Pray.
If you feel obligated to, but just take a deep breath and then start the game.
Should I be prepared?
That's ominous.
Should I be prepared to, like, take a sick day because I'll be so, like, wrecked emotionally or what?
You might want to.
Okay. We need a bottle of wine for this one?
Yeah. So I should probably beat The Last of Us before I start this fourth chapter. Yeah. I don't want to be playing this simultaneously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Steph, you'll just quit your job. It's out.
Let's all just, that's everybody's homework. Quit our jobs and play video games.
Yeah.
If you guys don't hear me, I'll be an emotional wreck in the corner.
I'm all about it.
I will be on my way to West Virginia.
Yeah, Steph, you're like on the verge of like instability between the games you're playing right now. Emotional, like, emotional collapse between like Life is Strange and Last of Us. It's like, come on, what are you doing? Do you enjoy punishing your emotions?
And then you have all that snow there too, right?
All right, so before we close, Steph and I would like to announce our next game, because we want to give you guys a chance to plan to buy it and give you time to think about it. So, Steph, why don't you announce what game it is?
So we're going to be playing White Knight.
N-I-G-H-T.
W-H-I-T-E-N-I-G-H-T. And from what I looked on Steam, I bought a couple days ago, actually, and it's actually on sale now. I mean, it's on sale on Steam for like $8.
Wait, it's on sale right now for $8?
Two days ago it was. In fact, let me pull it up for
yesterday. I think it's back up, but I could be wrong.
Oh, that stinks. But yeah, so it's White Knight. I'll read a little description here for you guys. This is the game's set description.
$7.49 on Steam right now.
Wow. Yeah, I'm going to grab that right now.
Yeah, get on it.
It's $15 on PSN, so grab it on Steam. Yeah.
And so the little description for it is set in the 1930s and drawing from the rich themes of noir-era storytelling, White Knight blends third-person action, exploration, and puzzle-solving with the mature tension challenge, and tone of old-school survival horror adventures. As players investigate a shadowy mansion in the dead of night after a near-fatal car crash, what started as a search for aid will become a desperate quest to unearth the secrets behind the manor's tortured past.
Dun, 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 dun.
That sounds delightful.
Yeah. We actually talked about this a little bit. I actually played White Knight. I don't know if any of you guys were with me at PAX last year or got a chance to play it, but they had a small, tiny little booth set up for this game. Yeah, PAX East, sorry. They're from France, the developers. I could hardly understand what they were telling me to try to play, and I didn't know what they were saying. But it's actually really interesting, and I wanted to play more of it, and I told them, I was like, I can't wait till this comes out, because right now I can't get into it. I don't even know what I'm doing. So I think this will be a good one. So what the plan is, just so you guys kind of know, we kind of have to experiment a little bit. Steph is going to play ahead and kind of pick some stopping points. So what we'll what we'll somehow do is communicate to you guys, like, you know, we'll probably have to be a little bit conservative, like, you know, play for 90 minutes. When you get to this point, don't go any further, something like that.
Yeah.
Just because we don't want to go too far and have people spoiled by accident and things like that. So, yeah, so that's the plan, and we'll start that as soon as... are you guys cool with just going right into the next game, not skipping a week? Like, are you guys cool with keeping momentum?
Yeah, that's fine with me. Yeah. I'm already installing it now.
Perfect.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, with Life is Strange, there's a few people in here who've already played or seen the whole game, so feel free to play it. Just keep in mind that, you know, you won't want to talk about... try to stay within the boundaries of what we decide, so... yeah, so there you go. I'm going to post...
It says on Steam it's on sale till the end of the month, so hopefully people in the group will be able to just pick it up.
Yes.
I really liked the art style in the game. I just posted the trailer if anybody's interested. But so, yeah, anyways, there it is. Steph, maybe we can post that tonight or tomorrow just to let everybody know, and maybe about the Steam sale, too, since it's...
Yep, I'll post something tonight. Fun.
Thank you very much. By the way, I would like to give kudos to Steph because she is a really great partner in crime and has certainly helped. Honestly, she's like 75% of my brain in all this. She's like, hey, are we going to post about this? Hey, are we going to mention this? I'm like, yeah, we probably should. I would have done that, you know, 2 weeks late, but that's good. Glad we can take care of that. So.
Yes.
Thank you.
Good job, Steph.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for putting this together.
Helps to have a good co-leader. And it was Chris's idea, so, you know.
It's great.
I hope you guys are having a good time. I'm really enjoying it. I think this group size is perfect. And I really enjoyed the different points of view and the different things that we all kind of pick up on and add to. So please don't be shy. And if anybody would like to, I mean, it's kind of late for Life is Strange now, I suppose, but for the next one, maybe we can add a couple more people if you know anybody that you know, didn't make it the first round or whatever. We can. Yeah. I don't see us going too big, but, you know, a couple more people wouldn't hurt. If Monzo was here, we would have had, I think, 7 people, so that's a pretty good group.
Yeah.
Or if any of you know of anyone to invite, like, you know, not even, like, if they want to do the next game, or if just to invite to the group itself, please do.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
All right.
You can give it a try, too. Well, thanks so much, guys.
Well, yeah, thank you. Yeah. Next week, same bat time, same bat channel.
Chapter 4.
That's good. All right, guys. Everybody have a good night.